Our scripture reading today, our first reading is from Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. If you want to look, it's on page 3 in your pew Bible. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is the word of the Lord.
Our New Testament reading is from Romans chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being, and birds and animals and reptiles. This is the word of the Lord. When someone we love dies, we never seem to expect it. It is always surprising. It is usually shocking. It's very often traumatic. And we ask how this could happen. And even in illness, we feel that the surrender to end of life is somehow giving up. And that's what we say. As it says in Ecclesiastes, God has set eternity in the human heart. We want to live forever. We often fear death. We don't necessarily want to live forever in this way, with our aging bodies and our aging minds, our broken relationships, our toil, as the author of Ecclesiastes calls it, our work on this earth. Hopefully it's become clear from our scripture readings today that the two trees our series refers to are the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. So as a reminder, we're going to look at this series for 3 weeks, and then we're going to an ecumenical, we're having a field trip, an ecumenical service for Labor Day weekend, and next week we'll give you more details on that so you know exactly where we are and when. So today we consider this creation account. I could have listened to Ron read forever, and those were that's a beautiful scripture. And we also consider the Apostle Paul's words from Romans chapter 1. So we read that the Lord God created man, Adam, and placed him in the garden, and there were plentiful trees and fruits, and it sounds just beautiful, including the tree of life. And Eden was paradise, All that seemed to be missing was a companion for him, of course, a woman whom we call Eve. And I would imagine most, perhaps some of you online are watching as well, most of you, I'm sure, have heard this story over the years. In the middle of the garden stood these two wonderful trees, and God commanded these two people not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They could eat of any other tree in the garden. We have a wonderful, love that. Makes me think about what the garden might have been like. And then something unusual happens, doesn't it? And a serpent shows up, and he begins to speak. And you can look at this later in your own Bibles. And he tempts Eve, the woman, to eat from this forbidden tree, saying her eyes will be opened, and she will be like God, and she'll know good and evil. So she eats, and she gives some to her mate, Adam, and suddenly their eyes are opened, and they see somehow they have the knowledge that they are naked, and they cover themselves and have an awareness that they didn't previously have. So you know the rest of the story. They now were no longer able to eat from the tree of life and live forever, and they are banished from the garden. This is explained to them from the Lord after they hide from the Lord in the trees. Now, as commentators have pointed out, everyone this author knew and everyone we know now has the knowledge of the good and evil, and no one exists in a pre-Genesis 2 world. In fact, we look no farther many times than our own families or workplaces or neighborhoods, certainly our state and our country, to see the reality of sin and evil and death in our world and in our lives. I venture to say for each one of you here, you only need to look a few moments behind you to find a fractured relationship, disappointment, something that has fractured and been broken in your own relationships. It's been said the way that we read this story reflects the kind of relationship we have with God. And this is one of the places where the kind of God we believe in is likely to strongly influence how we understand this story. This isn't a story of men or women or who caused whom to sin or who ate the apple first or who brought sin into this world. There are pat answers for all of that. And they are inadequate explanations for what we call sin and our experience of separation from God, as well as decisions that lead to death. In their quiet and thoughtful moments, I would guess what was important to Adam and Eve wasn't who ate the first fruit, but instead how their hearts were inclined to disobey God that day in the garden. We are created in the image of God. We couldn't read through all of those scriptures, but the first several chapters are just a wonderful reminder in reading. We're created in the image of God. We're created to have a relationship with that one who put Adam and Eve in the garden, and also for a relationship with other human beings. We weren't meant to be alone. This is how God set all of this up. Rather than getting caught on what trips us up, I echo the suggestion that what matters here is not the fruit, not the serpent, but instead the relationship that God desires to have with each one of us. Like the psalmist who penned our call to worship today, and that was Psalm 121, we too lift our eyes up and we look for God. He says, "Where does my help come from?" And then he answers his own question. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and of earth. As the psalmist, looks for the gods in the hills, those in the rocks and the crevices there in the mountains, the highest places. He realizes that Baal or Asherah or any of these gods, small g gods, will not watch over us, will not keep us from harm, will not watch over our very lives as long as we live. Built up high towards the sky, they somehow seemed closer to heaven and more powerful. Yet we remember the prophet Elijah's challenge to Baal, if you remember that story, or the prophet Habakkuk's description of idols, in which he reminds us they're not shaped by our maker. They teach lies, he says, and they do not even breathe. Even wisdom literature taught the worship of idols not to be named is the beginning and cause and end of every evil. So it's with this understanding and framework we read Romans, where the Apostle Paul interprets these events we know as the fall, as bringing sin and death into the world for all people. And Paul reminds us, first two verses before we read today, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." Verse 17, "For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." It is here that we have sin, that word, defined for us really simply. Jumping ahead to verse 21. "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged," important word, "the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles." And finally, just after our reading today, verse 25, "They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator." And there it is, confusion between creature, us, and creator, the one who made us. Failure to honor and glorify God. The Apostle Paul spends a lot of time, as you know, in his letters talking about how to honor God, such as with our bodies, noting so many decisions we make lead to death. And when we consider death, we not only refer to eternal separation from God because we did not know God, but Paul is also speaking of those temptations and decisions and choices that one way or another lead to death. I'm going to share a lighter story now. This is a heavy topic, I realize. Next week won't be as heavy, as we'll get to all of the good news. We have a new member of our household, if you have not heard that. And she has lived with us before, and she is a cat. And her name is Annie. Did you hear the sigh from the first pew? She is 16 or 17 years old. And I don't think I've told this story here. When I worked down the street at the other church many years ago, a big box arrived on the doorstep. And it was during the week, and I had pulled up, and this was a wardrobe box. It was stood about that high. And as I pulled up, I noticed it had air holes poked in it. I wasn't even, I knew exactly what was happening. Now, my next two decisions say a lot about me. I got out of the car, unlocked the door, I dragged it sort of there into the foyer there, and I stood there, and then I made coffee. And after I got my coffee and kind of fortified myself, I came back down the hall and sipped at my coffee and said, okay. Cracked open the, you know, it was taped closed and everything. It had a note on top. I opened the box and there were six sets of eyes looking at me. Annie was the mom, our beloved Annie, and there were five babies, and yes, they were cute and so on and so forth. They were not hard to give away. Part of the preschool staff took them. People from church took them, adopted them. They were gone within the day, except for Annie, the mom, and the mom came home with me. We never really consider the 10 or 20 year commitment we make to our rescue pets, do we? At the time, it seems like a really good idea. I have lived with Annie through many, many a season. We had a very short respite from her when my oldest, Grace, who's almost 21, moved in with her dad, and now Annie is back. And Grace was probably only about 5 when we brought her home, and so she, Annie is the pet. She is very close to Grace and to all of us, I guess. Now she's back. She's only 7 pounds. She's very ill. That said, she is trying to jump on counters. She's jumping on tables. She wants to eat everything, but we all know what happens when she eats, because I just told you she was very ill. And we think overnight she even got on top of the refrigerator, right, where there was a bag of chips. Okay, what is the point? We want to keep her downstairs, so this is what I want you to picture. A baby gate that's not a gate like you attach to the walls, but a gate that folds and is more portable with cardboard taped to the top of it with duct tape on the front, duct tape on the back. Today, as I came down the stairs and had to move this gate every time we go up and down and around, today I noticed there was even kind of a paper bag because there wasn't cardboard and it was taped on this other side, trying to stop her from going upstairs. This week, it fell downstairs multiple times. It's right at the bottom now. Crashing into walls, knocking pictures off the walls. The steps don't have carpet. It's very loud. The cat is fine. The gate, however, is not. This boundary was created out of love for the cat, kind of. For Grace, right, because this is her cat, and for the cat's safety, for her health, for her protection, for our pleasure, so that she's not upstairs, right? When Adam and Eve made the choice to eat the fruit, they violated that boundary that was set up by the Lord for them. It had been created for those very same reasons, for their safety, for their protection, for their health, for their pleasure. How do we know this? Because when their eyes were opened, you can look at it, they were filled with shame and fear. Remember, how we hear or view this story reflects the kind of relationship that we have with God. This restriction for Adam and Eve wasn't a punishment. Out of love, God allowed them to eat of any tree in the garden and to live forever. And the eating of that particular tree, the knowledge of good and evil, ultimately led to the process of death, the beginning of death. Their eyes were opened, and they became afraid. This commentator offers this tree, which was good for food, a delight to the eyes, and desire to make one wise, represents all the choices we make that seem to offer so much we want that we are willing to ignore the warnings attached until our eyes are opened. When we honor, glorify, and obey God, we do not experience fear. When God is remembered to be our creator and we worship the creator instead of the created, our money, our belongings, a person or a relationship in our life, a leader, our technology maybe, we worship the one who made us and ultimately was revealed in the person of Jesus Christ and came to give us a full life, one full of hope and one full of peace. Our idols today are less obvious than the ones placed in the hills, the small g gods you might have prayed to, or perhaps they're more evident, I'm not sure. How do we know what they are? You have a wonderful new bulletin with space to write, and here are a few questions. These are considerations. What do you spend money on? What consumes your thoughts? What do you spend the most time doing? Might also be a question to consider. What do you think about doing? What decisions have caused you shame or fear? And what decisions cause you confusion? Perhaps those still to come. If you need those repeated, I'll send them to you later in the week. Believe in the good news of the gospel. There is good news. And come next week to hear it as we share the rest of this important story and the life that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen.